11, and we're just going to be reading from 1 through to 10. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with a bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand up as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this evening. Gary.
All right, good evening. Merry Christmas. It's finally here, right? After 2 months of preparation and gift buying and listening to Santa Baby, we are finally here. Which is good news, right? It's Christmas. We finally get to rejoice that Jesus has come. And tonight we're going to talk about hope. And Christmas is the season of perpetual hope. You know who taught me that? Home Alone, the greatest of all Christmas movies. If you remember the story, they leave Kevin at home, they leave their child at home, and they fly to France, and Kevin's mom is frantically trying to get home, and she's stuck in the airport, and she insists she will get back to Chicago to see Kevin. Why? Because Christmas is the season of perpetual hope. This is the message we get throughout Christmas. We get this in our movies. We get this in our music. We get this even in our department stores. I walked into Macy's last month and saw this. Believe, right? This is what even our department stores tell us, that we are supposed to have hope at Christmas. And so I have to ask, why? Why have Christmas hope? Why believe all these things that these movies and music and even Macy's is telling me? Especially when we know stories like what happened with our friend Katie this past month. As Todd mentioned, she went hiking on Mount Hood and never came back. And 2 days after they called off the search for Katie, I got an email, found out a friend of mine who's 25 was diagnosed with ALS. Which is Lou Gehrig's disease, and when I looked it up, it turns out there's a chance he might not live to be 30. So that's challenging. The day after I found that out, I found out that one of our homeless friends in Bristol, he passed away. He had had cancer, and he basically drank himself to death. So when things like this happen, when the world looks like this, when these are the realities of the world we live in, I think it's a fair question. Why have hope? And then we come to something like Isaiah, with all these promises. A Savior will come from God who will fix the world. Justice will come. Evil will be destroyed. There will be harmony between humanity and creation and between all people. And all people will finally be one with God. This is the hope of Christmas. And we believe this hope is beginning to be fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. All these songs we sing, but we have to question, is this true? Why have Christmas hope? And with all the things that went on these past 2 weeks, I had to ask myself that question, which is a fun question for a pastor to be asking himself, especially one who has to preach on Christmas Eve. Why have Christmas hope? And I know I'll probably spend the rest of my life working through this question, and I know I only have 15 minutes to talk about it tonight, but I think this is what we're going to dig into tonight. Why have hope? Before we go any further, let's pray. Jesus, as we dwell on the scripture you have given us tonight at Christmas, Lord, help us to understand what it means. Help us to understand your promises and what it means that you came and you dwelled among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I really tried to ask that question seriously these past 2 weeks. What does this mean? Why have hope? And I prayed through it, and I wrestled through it. And as I began to read scripture, something happened. I don't even remember what I was reading. Probably something like Isaiah 11 with these phenomenal promises of God, of the healing and redemption of God. And as my intellect was struggling against hope, I started to read scripture and my heart began to betray my intellect. My heart began to rejoice in the comfort and healing of God. And as I read about forgiveness and healing and redemption, my heart got light and I thought, maybe this is true just because I want it so badly to be true. And this sounds like terrible wishful thinking, but as I dwelt on it, I thought, maybe there's something more here. Maybe there's something to the fact that this just resonates so clearly. I mean, humanity has always written stories of hope. We always have, from our most ancient mythologies to our most modern movies. And we are told to put away this idealism as we get older because we have to worry about mortgage payments and mutual funds and everything else that comes with life. But at Christmas, it slips out again. Whether it's the redemption of George Bailey or Buddy the Elf come to return us to innocence, at Christmas, this deep, deep longing for hope comes out again. It slips out in our stories. And I have to question why. Why do we keep writing stories of hope? And why does it ring so true with us? Maybe the reason this story is written over and over and over again is that it's actually part of who we are. Maybe it's actually the truth of God coming through. We long for justice and redemption. We sing about it in our pop songs. We cry out for a lover to come and make us new. Or on the playground, children cry out, "That's not fair," from some inherent sense of justice that they know the world should be made right. We look everywhere for renewal. But maybe the answer is in that baby in a manger. Maybe there's a reason my heart is at peace when I read about forgiveness and the reconciliation of God that comes through Jesus. Maybe there's a reason I'm nearly brought to tears every time I read about the prodigal son. Maybe it's because it's true. Movies and even Macy's remind me of the deep-seated longing for hope. And in that baby in a manger, this root of Jesse, a.k.a. Jesus, there's a story of hope that is fulfilled. In the Christmas story itself, I find the most compelling answer to my question, why have hope? I have hope not because I understand, but because it's true. A course, believing something is true doesn't necessarily make it true. I mean, if I believe I have $1 million outside, that's not necessarily the case. But something odd happens with this whole Christian hope thing. My belief in $1 million wouldn't necessarily change anything, but when I actually believe these promises of God, and when I actually go forward in faith in these promises, something strange starts to happen. They start to become true. Stories of redemption become real. Healing actually happens. Reconciliation is actually possible. For all these recent stories of sadness, I'm overwhelmed by the stories of hope that God is writing. I can tell you just a few of them. Like we mentioned tonight, there's a homeless community that lives in Lower Bucks County. The community's been there for years. They live in the woods and random places throughout Bucks County. And as far as I know, before this past year, very few people were working with them. And then last summer, one retired pastor decided to go and connect with this community. And then this pastor connected our church through our summer forum on homelessness. And that connection led to a number of PBU students getting involved and becoming friends with the homeless and going into these homeless encampments and actually meeting with the people that were there. And this relational connection was the final push needed to launch Code Blue, this program going on in Bucks County to provide emergency shelters in churches for the homeless. And that's going on right now. Right now there are four different churches in Bucks County that will be housing the homeless throughout this summer, or throughout this winter. And all of this finally got us to go into the woods, where a number of people from our church have connected with the homeless. On Tuesday, two of us went to the homeless with long underwear, socks, and candy canes for Christmas. And as we gave them out, we gave them to our friends in the woods, and one of them was just overwhelmed. And he looked at us and he said, "I wish I had something I could offer you back. I wish I had something to give. All I can give you is my friendship." And of course, we gladly accepted. Forrest was there with me. It was this amazing moment. And we got to sit and talk and celebrate Christmas, share life, and pray with our homeless friends. And so I look at this. This one simple act of faithfulness this summer has led to an entire community-wide effort coordinated by churches to care for the homeless in our community, to put them up in shelters, to help them out with physical safety, but also to form a community of love and healing, and to truly be witnesses and participants in the salvation of God. I can't imagine what God will do next. Hope is a powerful thing. And this is not the only story being written. Dory co-opted my sermon here and told the story this week of our connection with these two homeless teenagers in Bristol. And what a beautiful gift to allow two homeless kids to just feel normal at Christmas, to have peace at a time when everything in their life is transient. Or another friend I have who's a single mom, three young kids, a history of domestic abuse, drug abuse, every indicator that would show a life falling apart. And I've seen so many people from the church go out of their way to care for her. And she's 2 years into recovery. She's healthy, she's sober, and she's tearing through a college degree. She told me once, "I used to hate God, but now I know how good he is." When we actually believe this hope thing, it starts to come true. It's profound. And lastly, I think about our little church plant in Bristol. If you guys are visitors, this past year, we sent out a group from the Well to plant a church in Bristol. And I look at all of us who are part of this, who are leading, preaching, and singing, and coordinating ministries, and setting up, and tearing down, and doing so many wonderful things. And one of the funny things about doing a church plant is when you're in a smaller group, so you get to hear everybody's stories. And the scary thing is, you realize what a bunch of screw-ups we are. I mean, I hear these stories, and it's unbelievable. It's amazing the things that all of a sudden come out when we're honest with each other. Family baggage, and sexual problems, and addiction issues, and personality disorders, and just plain old-fashioned selfishness. And yet somehow, God keeps working. So we step forth in faith. This community comes forth that is a community of healing and hope to one another. And the redemption of God comes. Dory used to call our church plant the little church plant that could. And she changed the name this week to the little church plant that does. It was pretty cool. Because what happens, right, when we go forth in faith, hope actually becomes true. So why have Christmas hope? Because in faith, God actually comes. And so I remember my friends. I mean, I remember Katie, and I know that God was with her and is with her. Because even in my darkest moments, even in my moments of death, God has been there. And I remember our homeless friend Pete, and trust that God will forgive a broken down sinner. Because I know God has forgiven us, and God has forgiven me. And my friend with ALS, I have to believe that a good story will be written, because into every tragedy I've encountered in my life, God has brought beauty. Why let hope be real? Because in faith, God actually comes. Somehow when we believe it, hope actually becomes true. And finally, why do we have Christmas hope? What does hope actually have to do with this Christmas story? We have hope because our hope is not based on wishful thinking or on good sentiments, but on a God who actually broke history and entered into the world at Christmas. Do not be afraid, the angel declares. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. We live in a broken world, but God does not sit distant in the heavens and just tell us to have hope and to get over it. God does not say, detach yourself and just forget the suffering that you go through. God jumps right into the middle of our suffering. God comes into history as a baby and walks with us throughout our lives. Emmanuel, God with us. This is a story of hope. And because we know that God did this, because God came at Christmas, there are two things we know. First, God is a God of action. Why have hope? Why have hope that is more than just kind of a mushy feeling or a good sentiment? Because we know God came, and so God will come again. God does not sit idly by and let us wallow in our suffering. And we have hope that is more than just a kind of a optimism. Hope that God can actually change things and heal things. Because the story of the incarnation, that God would come and walk with us in every aspect of life. God is not so transcendent and distant that God just calls us to detach ourselves. Instead, God enters into our suffering. Jesus suffered the helplessness of childhood and the awkwardness of adolescence. Jesus experienced his family being ashamed of him and his friends abandoning him. Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus and ultimately took death upon himself. Jesus even experienced the silence of God we sometimes know in the midst of sin and suffering, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And having suffered every pain of human existence, God delivered him in the resurrection. So we know that hope is real. That hope is more than just a wishful thinking. Hope is more than just a painkiller. but that God truly enters into the middle of suffering and brings deliverance. And so these promises of Isaiah sit before us, that the world will be made right, that healing will come, that we can truly be one with God, that sin can be destroyed, that evil put to death. The Christmas story reminds us that they are coming true, and one day they will fully come, these promises, that through this baby born today, redemption can come, and a new song can be sung. Our hope is not based on wishful thinking, but on the God who broke history to be with us, Emmanuel. Romans 8:31-32 says it this way: "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" In other words, if God was willing to give us his son, if God was willing to enter into history and suffer and die, how can we doubt that God will not deliver us from all suffering and sorrow and sin? God has come. God is coming. God will come again. And so we have Christmas hope. As I wrestled these past 2 weeks, there was the despair that comes with death and suffering and sorrow. And that's okay. That's part of our Christmas story. There's a reason we celebrate Christmas now in the darkest time of the year. God allows us to bring our darkness, our suffering, and our shame to him. But as we do, there's very real hope there. At Christmas, God has come. So I invite us into the hope of Christmas. This nagging feeling that there might be something more to the world, that there might be a story that is greater. This is our Christmas hope, and as we walk in faith with God, we see God come. Christmas hope. Why have Christmas hope? Because it's true. Amen? Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas.
As we close tonight, we're going to do a version of Joy to the World that Jess, this is Jess, and she has kind of rewritten it and kind of put her own spin on it. So it's not your traditional Joy to the World, but the words will be up there. I think you will thoroughly enjoy it, so.
Name.
close.